Okay, Boker Tov world. Today's daf in the second Nedarim brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh is daf Chof Dalet. And we've made an extraordinary amount of headway over here on Chof Dalet already. And we're getting close to the bottom of the daf, actually, about a third of the way up. But let me just remind you what it is that's been going on. We are still in the middle of the issues of Nidrei Zeruzin. So we started off with a very straightforward Nidrei Zeruzin, where we have no reason to believe that anybody actually meant, either party meant exactly what they said. It was a classic bargaining position, and the netter was there just to move someone on, in that case a Zeruzin, to get moving, let's, you know, forget it. I'm not interested in that offer. You're not interested in my price, so let's move on. That's called Nidrei Zeruzin, and everybody was agreed to that Nidrei Zeruzin. But then we had this new Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and he extended the idea of Nidrei Zeruzin to a case in which somebody refuses to eat by a guy, and the person was neider hanah from him because he doesn't want to eat by him. And that, says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that's also called Nidrei Zeruzin. And, well, the way we understood that as being Nidrei Zeruzin is that even though it's not just to move you on from your position, it's not clear to everybody when you say it 100% that you really mean something else, but the fact that it is a overreaction, so that's a disproportionate reaction to the fact that the guy doesn't want to come to eat by you, over there, we said that there too, the main point is to move the person away from his position, that he doesn't feel like coming in for a meal. Then we got to another case. The other case was where we're not certain that it's totally disproportionate. And that was a case where somebody asers hanah from the other person in the event that he refuses to accept a gift to his son, supposedly. I mean, we're understanding that to be a very nice way of insisting that a person accept a gift. And it's a very large gift. And it makes us believe that if a guy insists that someone take a gift like that, then obviously that person must have given him something that he feels very much indebted for. And he wants to actually relieve that sense of indebtedness. Now, according to that, there would be a good reason to make a netter like that. And we called that the netter that's called Lav Kalba'ana. Lav Kalba'ana, and we had Lav Malka'ana in the inverse case where he insists that the person give him a gift. That Lav Kalba'ana or Lav Malka'ana means that it is justifiable in people's minds that somebody would really lose his cool over the fact that a person insists on continuing to be good to him and refuses to accept anything in exchange. So it means, like, what are you treating me like? I'm some kind of dog that, you know, you throw him a bone, whatever you feel like it. I mean, relationships have to be mutual. You don't want a mutual relationship, so I'm going to asr hanah, right? In that case, what we said was that even according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, although it would not be included under Nidrei Zeruzin because of being disproportionate, we had a new idea. The new idea was that you can actually cancel the effect of the netter without needing heter of a chacham by saying that, look, the real meaning of the netter is for you, your desire to be mechabed me. This is my covet. Or you want me to have this, I ended up not really needing it. So when I said that you've got to give me this gift, it turns out I don't need it, so thank you very much anyway. Fine. So in that case, our current understanding is that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would not view that as Nidrei Zeruzin, but he still would not require Hatara because you would be able to say effectively, this is what the netter means. That's like a new idea. So effectively, you can be matir without the chacham. That's where we were up to. Now, what we wanted to know yesterday is, when we find the Mishnah quoting Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, does that necessarily imply that the Chachamim did not agree? And they felt that the only Nidrei Zeruzim was the flat-out Nidrei Zeruzim mentioned at the beginning of the Perek, in which Nidrei Zeruzim were meant that everybody knows what the meaning is. And there's no question that we have to figure out that, well, isn't this a bit exaggerated? No, we don't have to go through that. We understand we're watching negotiations, and when two people say those things in the context of negotiations, they both have in mind some point at which they're willing to settle, which was the three-dinner point that we spoke about. Fine. And if it is a machlokas, we asked, do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or do we paskin like the Das of the Rabbim, like the Chachamim? That was the question that we raised yesterday, and let's take a look at that today. So we got up to about one-third of the way up. Omer le Mar Kashisha, Bereder of Chista, Luravashi. I want to bring you a raya about this question. Tashma. You got that case? Okay. So in the case of Nidre Onasin, so that's going to be the mission we're going to talk about at the beginning of next week. And over there, what we mean is that where a neder was meant to be triggered by an event, such as, you have to come and show up at my wedding, right? And it turned out that the guy couldn't show up at the wedding because they canceled all the flights. There was a big snowstorm. There was a flood. He got sick. Whatever. So now that is called Nidre Onasin because the trigger doesn't actually work. Because it meant that I did it on purpose, but not that I couldn't do it. Now look at the case that it says over there. Nidre Onasin. So the Mishnah says, Hidiru chaviroshi ochal etzlo. So this guy, I mean, I'm assuming that the case is that the same kind of case. The guy said, you know, if you're not going to come to eat by me, so then I'm answering all hana, you know? And then it turns out that the guy couldn't come because he got sick, or one of his children got sick, or maybe there was a flood on the way, he was unable to arrive, whatever. So that is a case where the neder does not go into effect because it's out of his control. Okay. Well, I don't understand. And what if it wouldn't be out of his control? Didn't Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov use that exact case to be the Nidre Ziruzin? So why do we include over here some additional point if it was out of his control and there was a flood, even if it wasn't out of his control? According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that is always understood as an overreaction, out of proportion, and therefore Nidre Ziruzin, right? Therefore, Tainas Markashisha, brother of Chista. So now I ask you, who said that in the Mishnah that it's only because of Cholahu, Cholobino, Ikavto Nohar, but if not for that, Olav Hachi, what are you telling me? You're telling me it would have been another? So who is the author of that Mishnah? It can't be Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because if it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, then it is exactly the neder that we just had in the Mishnah before. Namely, an overstated neder. So therefore, it's a disproportionate neder. And according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, we call that ziruzin. El alav, there's no choice but to say that this Mishnah is the Rabbanan, and they say, no, we don't buy into Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. This is not called nidre ziruzin. This is a real neder, except that in this case, it was out of his control because there was an illness, or there was a river, whatever, right? So you see from here that the Rabbanan, in fact, argue. Beautiful, says the Gemara. Well, yes, it would be beautiful if the case were the case that you think it is, but that's not the case, my friend, okay? This Mishnah could be going perfectly well, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Let's take into consideration what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was saying. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was saying when somebody says something to move someone from their position, then it's called Nidre Ziruzin. You're assuming that that was the case over here. The guy made an edit. Well, if you don't show up to the meal, then all of my nechassim should be asr on you. But that wasn't the case. I'll tell you what the case was. Mi savarta de adre bezabdin lezamina. What did you think the case was? Same case as before, that the guy who was doing the inviting, he was upset that if the guy doesn't come, so then the person that he invites is going to be Osirbana. No, no, no. What happened was like this. A guy wanted to go to a wedding. And his wife was driving him crazy. No, what do you got to go to the wedding for? It's a three-day trip, and I don't want you to go, and so on and so on. So he says to the guy who's making the wedding, listen, are you going to invite me to your wedding? Of course. Of course I'll invite you to the wedding. Well, It's not enough to invite me to the wedding. It's got to be the kind of invitation that cannot be refused. You understand? So you got to invite me and make sure that I come. And you make a netter that if I don't come, I'm in big trouble. Then I go to my wife and I tell her, what am I supposed to do? I mean, this is not a normal invitation. I mean, we'll be in a family feud with this guy. I got to go to the wedding. Okay. So that's what happened. Now, obviously, in that case, you can't call it Nidre Zeruzin, because the guy that supposedly you're being Mazari is was the guy that asked you. He wants to come. So over there, of course, if it wouldn't be for the fact that it was a Nidre Shagigin or Anusim in that case, so then Enoch Inami, it would have been an editor. Don't see that inside. Le'olam, as you see, things haven't changed much. Le'olam, Ribli Ezer ben Yaakov. Okay, but what did you think? The Adri Mizamna Lizamina? No. What happened over here is the Zamina Adri Lizamna. It was the person getting the invitation who pushed the inviter to make this netter. So he says to him, look, are you inviting me to the wedding? He said, of course. I'm Alayin. So he says, okay, if you're inviting me to the wedding, then netter is Alecha. It's got to be this kind of invitation. You accept the fact that if I don't show up, that I'm Aser Bana? And then the guy said, okay, fine. So then the only reason that these are not binding the Dorim is because they're Nidre Onasim, Ben Enoch Inami. There'd be no possible way that anyone could possibly consider this Nidre Zeruzin, where I'm being Mizaris myself. That's a joke. Okay, fine. So I'll bring you a raya from a bright, okay? Toshma. It says over here, Yeter alkein, Omer Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer lecha v'ro konem sha'ani ne'ne lecha, im I ata mitareach etzli. Now, we're going to have to understand what do you mean, yeter alkein? This appears to be saying, going beyond anything that we've learned from Eliezer ben Yaakov up until now, I want to tell you that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov even agreed that in a case where a guy says, I'm going to forswear hana'ah from you unless you come in and you've got a hot bagel and a cup of coffee. What? So the guy ends up getting into a fight with him and he doesn't come. Anyway, or that's a some learn, others learn that he makes an edder and says, no, on the contrary, if I do come, I'll be asbana. Whatever it means. But the point is that Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov is considering these to be nidrei zeruzim. And it says, Beferish v'lo hodu lo chacham. So now let's first understand. How does this differ from the case that we had before, where the guy says, if you don't accept this gift, then you're going to be Aser Bana? Because remember, in that case, we said that since he's trying to give him this massive gift, we're assuming that, well, then there must be a good reason for it. And probably he's really getting fed up with the fact that this other person has been giving him things. And therefore, we said in that case, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov does not hold it to Nidre Zeruzin, right? And in that case, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would say, Lav Kalbana. That was the reason. I'm not going to keep accepting gifts from you and you don't let me give you anything in return. So now there were two ways of understanding that. One is because the only reason we said it would be Lav Kalbana was because of the size of the gift. Now, if it's the issue is the size of the gift, then obviously inviting a person in for a bagel and a cup of coffee, which he specifies over here, can't possibly be included in the Lav Kalbana idea, right? So therefore, what it's saying is that above and beyond the cases that we considered before to be in need of a special heter, namely heter you make for yourself, you know, well, okay, it was only for my covet, and now I'm accepting it. It's this is my covet, or I've already accepted it in the opposite case when he was making imaser on him. Okay, so therefore it's called a yeter al kain, that even though technically speaking it's the same kind of netter in which we were saying the Lav Kalbana that Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov himself would agree that you can't just walk over the netter, and since it's Lav Kalbana, maybe he really meant it seriously. So one approach would be that even though this is the same format, this is not true what we said before. And Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov would not agree that Lav Kalbana is a reason to consider this to be more than Nidre Zeruzin. That's one approach that the Ran brings. The other approach is that the lav kalbana indeed is dependent on the size of the gift. And it's only because we have good grounds to assume that this person is saying lav kalbana. Why is he giving him such a big gift? Must be there's good reason for it. Okay, if that is the pshat, which was not 100% true according to everyone, but if that is the pshat, then we still stick with our idea that in a case where it was a big gift, you would in fact require saying that hare ani kilu itkabalti, and it would not be nidrei zeruzin, but a bagel and a cup of coffee is not a big gift, and therefore it doesn't enter into this area. So therefore it's saying yetraken. In other words, even though Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov did say that in a case where the person who's trying to get someone to accept something from him, and he's being thwarted in that, is possibly being very serious and angry at the person not willing to accept from him, yet Rakan, in a case where it was just a bagel and a cup of coffee, that doesn't make sense. We're not going to say it. That's the yet Rakan. But that's not what's important to us. What's important to us is the fact that it closes with the words, the Braita closes with the words, and the Chachomim did not agree with this. Now, when you say the Chachomim did not agree with this, what does that mean? They did not agree with this particular case? I mean, if it meant that, it would have said, Lo hodu lo Chachomim bezeh. Instead, when it throws in the words, Lo hodu lo Chachomim, the simple meaning is, they disagree with this approach, and that in all cases where it's not really Zeruzin in the sense of, well, everybody knows what they mean, it's Zeruzin because we can explain it that way, we disagree with you. That's not called Zeruzin. Zeruzin is where the words mean something else in the brain of anybody hearing them. The guy says, I'm not going to go down one penny from my $5. Yeah, right. Okay, so what he means is he insists on $4. Yeah, I mean, that's what people hear. That's Nidre Zeruzin. But this type of thing, lo hodu lo chachomim. Okay, that's one possibility. There's other ways in which we learn this. I mean, Ron brings that his rabbeim said that there was a Kabbalah that they had about the sugya of the lo hodu lo chachomim, the next piece, whatever. But there's different ways of understanding it, why we're jumping to the conclusion that my lo hodu chachomim means even back in the original Mishnah, Mashma filo bikamaita, and shmamina pligi rabbanon alei shmamina. By the way, there's another girsa that says no. Actually, lo bikamaita ela bebatraita. The bottom line, it doesn't really matter all that much, because in the end, we're going to ask, strangely, so what's the deal? My havi Allah. So, of course, everybody's, so you see, that girsa was true, because why are you asking my havi Allah if you already proved it? But that's not true, as the Ron points out, because there were two questions that we asked. A, do they argue? And B, if they do argue, who's the halacha like? So then the my havi Allah might have been, yes, you just proved that they argue. Now, what about the second part of the question? My havi Allah. So who do we paskin like? So none of this is very persuasive, okay? So the bottom line is, my havi Allah is itself sufficient to make it clear that they do argue, because since Rav Huna says halachic Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, so obviously there's and over here, again, how do we know it's referring to both cases? Well, it was a Kabbalah that he was referring back to the Mishnah, or that it makes sense that it's referring to the Mishnah because not everybody knows a Braita. So why would he be just saying halacha? What do you mean halacha? In what? So if he's just saying stam, halacha is referring to the case that everybody knows, and everybody knows the case of the Mishnah. And in any event, the way that the Ron comes out with it is that, yes, there is a difference between a bagel and a cup of coffee and a gift of two kur and two barrels of wine. I mean, come on, that's crazy. And he shows that the Ramban indeed paskins that the concept of lav kalbana and lav malkana both seem to be workable ideas, even according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And therefore, we do have three steps. We have the total nidre zeruzin. We have the disproportionate, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, but not according to the Rabbanan, Nidre Zeruzin. And then we have even Nidre Zeruzin in cases where there is a reason to believe that somebody is insulted. It's also considered to be Nidre Zeruzin according to this, unless it's a real Lav Kalbana or Lav Malkana. That's how we end up paskening. He brings this from the Ramban. Remember, the Ramban has a big list of his Piskei Halachas. He was very, very big on the Hilchos Nedarim. And therefore, the Ran says that he believes this was based on his analysis of the sugya, which is the way that I just presented it. So that means that we conclude here with this Mishnah. We conclude the dinim of Nidrei Zeruzin. We've spoken about all kinds of alternatives of Nidrei Zeruzin. We've talked about Nidrei Zeruzin that aren't ipso facto Nidrei Zeruzin, but you can be poteach them as if they're Nidrei Zeruzin, or you can explain them as if they're Nidrei Zeruzin, if you do, so that you could say, Areyani Kilu Itkabalti, and so on and so forth. And we also discover that it's possible to turn other things, which would normally have been a Nidrei Zeruzin, to be Omdim Al Divrayim. Omdim Al Divrayim means that if the people claim that, no, what do you mean? I meant it very seriously. Then those Nidrei Zeruzin can be defined ex post facto as being real Nedarim. So that Nidrei Zeruzin doesn't mean that they don't have the potential of being Nedarim. Don't take it that far. It just means that without further ado, then I'm assuming that they are Nidrei Zeruzin. And now it's time to move on to our next set of the four Nedarim that are not binding. And those are called Nidrei Havai. And in order to move on to them, we, of course, we need the guidance of the sonar screen of our Capitan, who will point out to us. Nidrei Havai. So when we talk about exaggeration, Nedarim, well, that's not really the correct word, I don't think. The correct word is hyperbole in the Nedarim. In other words, somebody is saying something which is understood to be hyperbole. Exaggerations, I mean, you never know if somebody's exaggerating or he means it seriously. Hyperbole, you know exactly what he means. You know, so when he's talking about skyscrapers, there ain't no such thing as a skyscraper. But that's hyperbole, and that's what the word means. It means a very tall building, you know. So the same thing is true about Nidrei Havai. However, there is a completely different type of Nidrei Havai. Let's take a look at what the two cases are. Omar, Kone Mimlora Iti B'Derech HaZeka Olo Mitzrayim. So guy says, all Peira should be Osir Alay B'Kona if it's not the case that I actually saw along this road the number of people that were Yotze Mitzrayim. That means that he's really claiming that there were 600,000 people that he saw along the road. Now, that is hyperbole, and people speak like this. Oh my gosh, it was like Ka'ele Mitzrayim, you know? Well, that's the same thing as talking about a skyscraper. And that is simply a way of saying, I saw many people. And that's what the words mean. And therefore, he was telling the truth. He saw many people. And the way that people refer to many people is by using language that's hyperbolic. Fine. But there's another type of Nidrei Havai. The other type is, Im lo ra'iti nachash, kikorat beit habat. Because that would be a shvur, we're going to be talking about that in a moment, but I accept upon myself a konam, that all peiros are going to be asur on me, if I didn't see, crossing the street, a nachash like the korah, like the beam of a Beit Habad, of an olive press. Okay, now, what does that mean? If it's simply talking about as thick as an olive press, I can send you plenty of YouTubes of snakes as thick as an olive press. And so the Gemara points out that that can't be what it means. Because, I mean, why would that be hyperbolic necessarily? The Gemara comes out that what it means is that in the same way that a Koras Beis Habad has ridges on it, so that crushes the olives. What he claims was is that he saw one of those, you know, ridge dinosaurs, you know, that's a Nachash Kikoras Beis. Yes, I saw one of those crossing the street. Yeah, right. Maybe in Jurassic Park you saw it, but you didn't see it crossing the street. So now the question is, okay, so what does the guy mean? He can't be speaking hyperbole, because, I mean, it has nothing to do with the reality. What's he talking about? A ridge dinosaur crossing the street. So what he's trying to do, therefore, is he is talking nonsense, right? And he's trying to make that nonsense be a little bit funnier that he really means this, you know? I swear if I didn't see the dinosaur crossing the street, all the parents in the world should be usher on me. Now everybody knows it. Come off it, man. Right? So it's a completely different type of Nidrei Havai. It's Havai in the sense of being meaningless. So we understand that he doesn't really mean to asser all of the Paris. If he really wanted to asser Paris, he could have just said, all Paris in the world should be asser on me. We have to make it a story of dinosaurs. But the point is that he's making up this story and he's, you know, and he's making it sound like it's, yeah, man, it should really be. People do this, but they do it as just hyperbolic speech in the sense of, I really mean this. Yeah, okay, right, 100%. Right?
If you put together the snake and the press, you get snake oil.
Okay.
I'm selling you snake oil.
Yeah, but snake oil people really mean. Over here, he knows that we don't mean it. That's the whole point. So, okay. So those are two different types of Nidrei Havai. Now, where it gets interesting is where we deal with the same issue in terms of shvuas. Why? Because when you try to say a shvua about something that is simply ridiculous, that is a shvua shav. Uh-oh. If it's a shvua shav, that's one of the ideas of shvua shav. You make a shvua about something that everybody knows is not true. For that matter, if you make a shvua about something that everybody knows is true, it's also a shvua shav. What are you making a shvua to say what? That this is a piece of wood. That's a shvua shav. So you're making a shvua shav to play a game that you saw a dinosaur crossing? That's ridiculous. That's a shvua shav. Now, in that case, the guy would be chayav malchus. There's no such thing as a neder shav that would be chayav malchus. So that would just be nidrei havai. So that would mean that there would be two completely different issues if we try to translate this into shvuas, right? Because if the guy is using hyperbole, then that's just a matter of speech. It's an expression. So then it wouldn't be a shvua shav. I swear I saw on this road ka'ole Mitzrayim, which means I swear I saw a lot of people. Doesn't mean I swear I saw. So that would be true that even a shvua would not be chayav. But the second one, now that already would be very different. And that's why the Gemara wants now to move on from this case of Nidrei Havai to see what the equivalent case would be about Shvuas Havai, because that touches upon exactly what we mean by hyperbole. And then we'll see that we cannot use both of them the way we would have with a neder. So, what the Gemara says, therefore, now, is that Tana. If you take a look at the Braita points out that Nidrei Havai, those are mutar. And the peros do not become asur on you. But shvuas havai are asurim. Now, it's not clear what that means. Shvuas havai are asurim means what? That the peros are asur on you? But what do we mean exactly by shvuas havai? Ilema, I mean, if the case means that it's exactly like this case, that the guy said, shvua imlora iti bederech hazeh, it's a shvua that if I didn't see along this road again, ka'ole Mitzrayim, right? I understand. So that lashon means something? Midem ka'omar? What does that mean? So this is a meaningless statement. Shvua what? So, what, did he say shvua that things would be usher? Shvua what? And he didn't say anything. Amar Abaye, no, he meant, it means something like the case of neder. It's not really the case of neder. He said, I'm making a shvua that I saw. Shvua shera'iti. That's what it means. It doesn't mean shvua, I'm making a shvua that's, I will not eat any fruit from now on. If it isn't so. No, that's not what it means. It's straight up. You can't make a neder like this, right? You can't make a neder that I saw something, but you can make a shvua that I saw something, because that's the point. The shvua will always have to do with, that's a classic shvua shavar. I swear that I ate that. I swear I didn't eat it. I swear I saw it. I swear I didn't see it. So then the guy is saying, I swear I saw Ka'olei Mitzrayim along the road. That's what it would mean. So it's just saying that in that case, if you made a shvua like that, that it would be usur to do that. Why would that be? Well, let's consider. We have two cases in the Mishnah. He certainly can't be saying, what, that a shvua is a muteret to say in the case where he's using hyperbole about the nachash. I mean, that is a shvua shav by definition. That you can't say that. And Abaye is saying, well, we're not talking about a case of Isser Peres either. So what it must be saying is that in the case where we're talking about the Olei Mitzrayim, the same way that the Nidrei Avoy don't make any difference, the same thing would be true if you're using hyperbole in a Shvua. It is not considered to be a Shvua Shav. And you shouldn't think, would people fool around even with a Shvua? Wouldn't they be more careful to use words that are accurate instead of words that are hyperbole? And it would be saying that when it comes to the case of a shvua, that even though it's more chomer, and you would think people don't use hyperbole, and he should get malchus, that's not true. People can actually do the same kind of thing that they do with shvua shiraiti. So they would mean the same type of guzma, and it would not be a chiyav of an actual shvua shav. Maybe that's what Abai is saying. But if that's the case, then he is not talking about the case of the nachash beit habat. He would only be talking about, I saw Ka'olei Mitzrayim. So then what it's saying would be, and this is would be going according to the gears of the Ran, that the way that he had the girsa was the same way that a neder shav is mutter, so too a shvua shav is mutter. But remember that this is a complicated sugya because there are two different types of shvuas that we would be talking about. One would be hyperbolic expressions, which mean exactly what they say, in the sense that what they say has nothing to do with the literal meaning of what they say. It means the hyperbole of what they say. I saw a lot of people. But the other case is not that type of havoy. The other case is where the person is trying to say something ridiculous and just make a big fuss of it. But that is the classic shvua shav, which you would get malchus for. So it couldn't possibly have said over here that a shvua is mutter. So therefore, the two girsos would be referring to two different aspects of the Mishnah. When the Ran brings the girsa, that kishem shenidre havoy mutorim, kach shvuas havoy are mutorim. So then all it's saying is that you might have thought that people are going to be very makbid because a shvua, as we said before, is very chomor and lo yinake Hashem, and they wouldn't use hyperbole for shvua kamash malan, that no, that actually people do use hyperbole even when it comes to shvua. So then that would mean that the Braisa, this is what Abaye is saying, the Braisa has nothing to do with the case of Asering Peres on you, the way the Dorim Aser Peres on you. It's just talking about the swearing that you did see this. So then that would mean that Abaye is only addressing half of the Mishnah. And he's saying the half of the Mishnah that says that I saw Olei Mitzrayim would be mutter even in the case of the Shvua. Masha'in came the other case. Well, the other case, obviously, not only would not be mutter, you would definitely get malchus on it because it would be a shvuas shav. Fine. So that is what we would have to say. So Rav has said to him, that doesn't make any sense. Because what's the point then? Im kein, lo malei lameimar. What you're saying has nothing to do with the case in the Mishnah. Why would we need a brisa to teach me that the Lashon of Olei Mitzrayim means a lot of people? Why wouldn't it? So Abaye was saying, because I would have thought that the Shvua is Chomor, Rava doesn't even hear that that is an important limud. Obviously, hyperbole is hyperbole. Now, the question is, therefore, why say it? And furthermore, what does it have to do with the similarity to Nedarim, the Ode? Dumya de Neder Katani. I don't understand. If the Braita is saying Kishem, doesn't that mean it's the same type of Shvua? So if the Neder, when we were talking about the Neder is Mutter, it means you're allowed to eat the Peros, so then the Shvua should also mean the same thing, that you're allowed to eat the Peros. Must mean that. Now, you should just know that we do have the same kind of discussion in Masechet Shvuos. And over there, what it talks about, that a guy makes a shvua, im lo ra'iti gamal poreach ba'avir, im lo ra'iti nachash kikorat be'tabat, and that is considered to be a shvuat shav. Why? Because there is no such thing. So even though there's no such thing as a flying camel, and there's no such thing as a dinosaur crossing the road. So therefore, the Mishnah already said beferish in Masechet Shvuos. If a person makes a shvua like that, he is going to get malchus for shvua shav. And therefore, when the Mishnah says over here these two things, and it doesn't talk about flying camels, that's because over here the two things that we're bringing are two classes. They're two different sets of hyperbole. In the case in the Mishnah in Shvuos, what we're trying to do is to point out that the Mishnah that we have here in Nedarim falls under the same class as flying camels. And therefore, it is chayev if you make a straight out Shvuah like that. Because of that, Rava says it's absurd to try to say that the Braita, where the Mishnah itself in Masechet Shvuos has already defined the difference between the two cases, that a Braita that would be referring to our Mishnah in Nedarim would talk about the two cases as if they are equivalents when it comes to Shvuos. That does not make any sense. So therefore, says Rava, this whole thing, the way that you're approaching it, and you're talking about, well, maybe it was only the first part of the Mishnah. I mean, first of all, that's obvious, okay? Because he's telling the truth. And secondly, it has to be the same as the Neder. The same way that we're saying the Neder means, in both of these cases, the Peros are Mutter, it would have to mean that in Shvuos, in both of these cases, that's the point that Rava is making, that in both of these cases, the Shvuah, and that would include even Nachash Kikaras Beit Habad. Now, how would you explain that, my dear friend, Abaye? Wouldn't make any sense. That is definitely a shvua shav. So therefore, says Rava, the point over here is that we are talking about the Peros, okay? And here's how it goes. If the person is using hyperbole, then obviously it doesn't become asur on him because he did see Kiyotze Mitzrayim. But what about the other case? When it comes to shvua, we have to ask ourselves, is this guy crazy? Does he want to actually be chayev because of making a shvua shav? And he's trying to really say that he saw such a thing? It must be that he had in mind really ushering the Peros on the world on him rather than making a shvua shav and being chayev malchus. So maybe in the case of shvuas, we should assume that the Peros do become ushering. That's the point. And nonetheless, it's coming along to teach us, no, that it's ridiculous to say that, because if he really wanted to make the Peros Aser, he would just make a Shvua Peros or Aser. So going through all of this rigmarole must be that he's still trying to make an impression using a Shvua on some hyperbolic, ridiculous statement, and that is Shvua Shav. And therefore, in neither of these cases would a Shvua Aser Peros. That's the Chiddush, says Rav. Okay. So therefore, it must be that the case would be Amar Rava Ba'omer Yeasru Perot Olam Alay B'Shvua Im Lo Ra'iti B'Derech Hazeka Olay Mitzrayim, and the same thing would be true about the case of the Nachash Kikaras Beis Habad. Amar Ravina, well, I don't understand though. So how would you explain the fact that there would be some kind of iser that would be involved, and that we have to come on to hyperbole? Why do we have to come on to hyperbole? A shvua, after all, how is it going to be defined, you know? Can't it be defined by what the person believes he's referring to? How do we know that he doesn't mean that he knocked over a gigantic ant colony, and so many ants came out that they were like Eile Mitzrayim. So now he's saying, oh man, I saw Eile Mitzrayim, meaning that there was all of these ants, I call them Eile Mitzrayim. It was better than the Cecil the Mill, whatever his name is, movie. I look at these ants, oh my God, that would be the Machane Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim. I don't know. I mean, if a guy would say that, can you call it a Shvuah Shav? So Dioma Hai Gavra Kina Deshum Shamani Chazam. Maybe he saw this like big anthole. And Asik Lon Shma Ole Mitzrayim. And he said, I do hereby dub thee Ole Mitzrayim. And therefore, we're not even talking about hyperbole. I mean, like, isn't that part of the way we understand Shvuahs? V'shaper mishtabea, in which case he's telling us the truth. Omar lei, Rava said to him, oh, absolutely not. Ki mishtabea daita didan mishtabea. Listen, when people make a shvua, they're talking to the listener. And the listener, at least people like me, I don't know about people like you, but people like me, anan lo maskina nafshin ashum shemani, we don't talk about ants, for heaven's sake. Somebody's talking about what he saw on the road. He's not talking about counting ants on the road. Wait a minute. Hold on. That is a drastic statement. Are you trying to tell me that a person who makes a shvua cannot make a shvua on the basis of his own meaning? That's what you're saying? Al daita d'nafshe? Lo avin inish d'mishtabea? Excuse me. I mean, it says beferish, not like that. V'atanya. Kishen mashbiyinoto. Now we're talking about over here when a bezdin makes somebody take a shvua. So let's say a guy was made of a mikzatz, right? And now he has to swear that I paid you that part of what I claim I paid you, and only then can he get away with just paying the rest of it. Now the halacha over there is that's a shvua d'oraisa. So the halacha is that the bezdin tells him when he's about to take the shvua, listen here, guy. Havi yodea shelo al tanai shebelipcha anu mashbiyinotcha. That whatever you have in mind that you think you're swearing about, you have to swear on the basis of what we think you mean, okay? Now, why do you think the Bezdin has to tell him that, right? I'll tell you why. Because suppose the guy took a set of checkers, you know, or Monopoly. So he took a bunch of Monopoly money. He paid this guy $100,000 of Monopoly money. And he swears, I paid him $100,000. Absolutely. Of course, I mean Monopoly money. Okay, but he didn't say that. So therefore, the Bezdin has to say to him, it doesn't go according to what you're claiming is money. It goes according to what we believe is money, okay? So, all right, so then that means that if he wouldn't have said that, so then he would have been able to get away with murder. And he would claim, I gave the guy Monopoly money, and that would be good enough. So you see that a person, if we don't tell him specifically otherwise, can actually make a shvua based on what hidden ideas he has in his mind. So why over here can't he mean an anthill? I knocked over an anthill. Ka'olei Mitzrayim. Why not? Let's see that inside. So my love, Lafuke, it would come to tell us that in a case, the Asik Leili is Kundri. So he took a bunch of checkers and he called each one a dinner, you know. V'asik Lam Shma Zuz. So he said, yo, I gave you 100 dinner. So therefore, since we have to get him to agree that no, it's only Al Da'atenu. So you see, Michlal Da'avid Inish Dimishtabeya Daita Danafsha. So you see very clearly that otherwise he would be allowed to have that in mind. No, says Igmar, not necessarily. It's to come to tell me about the other famous case, the case of the Agatha Christie cane. So now, what was that? Well, it happened with Rava. There was a guy that owed somebody money. Okay, it was a case of motive, but mixus, we don't go through the whole story over here because it's unimportant what happened. And he comes to Rava. And he says to him, okay, so you have to pay him because you were bait of a mixas. He said, you have to pay him. And he said, no, I paid him part, paratich. So Rava says to him, okay, so then you have to make a shvua. So zili shtava le de parate. So go make a shvua that you paid him. So he goes home and he takes this cane that he was walking with. He opens it up, takes out the M16 that he used to carry around in that cane. and he fills it up with coins, right? And then he closes the bottom of the cane, and now he comes hobbling into court on his cane. So he says to the guy, okay, could you hold my cane for me, please, while I pick up the Sefer Torah to swear? He picks up the Sefer Torah, and he swears, I gave that guy $100,000. The guy is furious. You rotten liar. He takes the cane, he smashes it across. Now, the cane opens up, and all the money falls out. And well, it turns out he was telling the truth. I handed you $100,000. You don't remember? Okay. So that type of thing, I mean, then it's the truth. I had handed you $100,000, all right? That's why we say al da'atenu. Because you know perfectly well that we thought that you meant you handed him cash and he knew about the cash. Come on, I'm not going to come and explain every possible nutty case that you would have made. So therefore, I say it's al da'atenu. That's the point. But it wasn't because of monopoly money, because people don't call monopoly money money. But this kind of thing, well, this, yeah, I mean, okay, it definitely, the Shvua would technically speaking be correct, right? And that's what we're talking about. So continues the Gemara inside. So then, having his stomach full, so the guy is hobbling in on his cane, and he walks in, and this guy's great. He walks into the Bezdin, and he says to the lender, he says, do me a favor, I'll hold my cane for a minute while I take the Sefer Torah. So Nekot Haikina Biyotcha, he takes the Sefer Torah, and he swears that, now the Lashon, the Pare Komai Davile Biyade, that's not a good Lashon, but he swears that I handed you over Liyade, I handed you over that amount of money, whatever it was. So, and the Ron says that, look, this Gemara is not interested in the details. It's trying to get the idea of what we need to worry about. And he said, yes, I handed it over to you. And then, now, who Malvera Gaz, that guy got so angry at the effrontery of this guy claiming in court, swearing, when he never paid me a penny, this bum. He takes the cane and he smashes it. Tavralo Ukanya, Vishtapichanizuzi Liara. All the money falls out on the ground, and it turns out that the guy was telling the truth. Vishtakich the Kushta Ishtaboy. So that's what we're worried about, but not calling monopoly money money and not calling ants Yotzei Mitzrayim. That's ridiculous. No. I don't know whether that's true. You're claiming Akati Lo Avid Mishtabai Adai Denafshi. You're still saying that it's very important. And the only thing we need to worry about is an actual way that the Shvua would make sense. So how do you explain this? Vatanya. Because the Braita said over there that V'chein Matzino B'Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Mashbia Es Yisrael. And he said to them that, look, I want you to be mekabel on yourself, lo itchem levatchem, and it's not only up to you, all of these things, anochi koreta tabrita zot v'ta'ala zot, everybody's accepting the Torah with a shvua. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to say, yeah, but it's not with you alone, meaning don't think that you can actually work it out, that you pretend that you're accepting it all, but you have a different way of translating it, right? No, it's not up to you. It's actually al da'ati, and so on and so forth. So you see that this idea, kishishbiat Yisro ba'avot mo'av, amalam havi yodim shelo al da'atchem ani mashbiatchem, don't give me no garbage. El al da'ati v'al da'at amokom. It goes according to what I'm thinking and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is thinking. Now, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say that? I'll tell you why. Because, maybe you'll pull some kind of crazy Israeli shtick and you'll say, I'll make the Shvu al da'atenu, and therefore, no, it's al da'ati. So what is he worried about? Lafuke mai. Lav lafuke, so must be, that these people will say, ah, we've got an Aveda Zora. Let us call this Aveda Zora the Lord. And then we make a Shvua, we will do the Lord's will. Meaning, of course, the Aveda Zora. Oh, no, it's al da'ati. So you see that people, Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that they could do something ridiculous like that, right? No, that doesn't prove anything. No, Avodot Kochavim are called the Lord. Everybody calls them Eloah. That's what we call them Elohim Achirim. So that would be the equivalent of the Cain, where you actually did fill it, but you're trying to fool me, but you can't claim that it's a lie. It really works. Now maybe that's the pshat. So since an Avodas Kochavim is called Eloah, Dichtivu b'chol Elohei Mitzrayim, God calls them lords, right? Okay, fine. So then why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu just say, okay, swear that you're going to be Mikayim all the mitzvahs, right? No, that might mean the mitzvahs of the Melech. Those are called mitzvahs. We will do all the commandments, as is written in the constitution of this holy country. Okay, so then why doesn't he just get them to swear, we will be Mikayim all the mitzvahs? No, that would be tzitzis, because shkula mitzvahs, tzitzis k'nei kol mitzvahs shabbat Torah. So they could claim that that's serious. Listen, it's a medrash. Don't tell us that we're lying. It says that that's shkula k'nei kol. These Jews, you know, they're too smart for you. Okay, but it certainly doesn't mean you can just take something else. This is really true. Oh, for heaven's sake. So then make them swear to be Mikayim the Torah. Oh, then that would be mashma only one Torah. Maybe there are a bunch of tzedukim and they're only being mekabel the Torah or bichtav. Oh, for God's sake. So then tell them they have to swear that they'll be mekabel the Torahs. No, they'll say, of course we are. Torahs mincha, Torahs chatas, Torahs asham. Absolutely, we accept all of those things. But nothing that has to do with not stealing or not killing, and that we could still do, right? Okay. You know, that would actually still mean terrorist board. You're trying to outwit these Jews. You got to really come up with a lot of possibilities over here. So then why not just say you'll be Mekayim terrorists and mitzvahs? Because terrorists would mean terrorist mincha. Mitzvahs would be mashma, the mitzvahs ha-melech. Then why not just swear that you'll be Mekayim kola terah kula? Ah, because that would just mean Avedis Kachavim. The Tanya Chamura Avedis Kachavim Shekola Kofer Bakilu Kameda Beterakula. So they'll say, okay, yes, absolutely. No more Avedis Zara. We don't go to church anyway. So, okay, but I mean, it doesn't mean we can't steal and lie and kill. So then why not just add that? Why not get them to swear that you will be Makabel, all of the Yisurim Avedis Zara and Kola Terakula? Or why not just have Moshe say, you have to accept all 613 mitzvahs, right? Yeah, I mean, so obviously there's alternatives. But, I mean, really, do I got to look around for every possible insanity that Jews can come up with? Moshe Rabbeinu chooses the easiest way out. Moshe Rabbeinu milsu lo trichanak. I could try to outthink these guys. I'm just going to tell them straight out. This shvua is according to what I think and according to what God thinks. So you can just rest assured that you're screwed if you take on the shvua. Okay. So then they're going to have to take on the shvua like that. But einachinami doesn't mean you can just arbitrarily say whatever it is that you want and that the 613 mitzvahs actually mean the 613 rules that appear in my Lego list. No, can't do that. Okay. So far, we're standing by this.